Your word from going forth. Give us hearts to receive, ears to hear. Lord, and as your word is sown, I pray that we be fertile soil, that we will yield unto you a bountiful harvest, that you would be pleased with our life and living. And Father, when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all the honor, power, and glory. It is in the marvelous name of Jesus the Christ we pray. Every heart say amen.
Amen.
All of you who are able to stand for the reading of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 1, I ask that you stand. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21. And certainly as we journey together in this 2020 year, Vision 2020, we want to preach Jesus is, dot, dot, dot. And we will give credence to that as we stand before you today. We're talking about Jesus is the Savior.
Yes, sir, right now. Yes,
sir. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Say that with me if you will. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name
Jesus.
For he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus.
The Savior.
Amen. Amen. Look at another neighbor that you can stand and look at and say, Jesus. The Savior.
Amen.
On your way to your seat, come on, put your hands together. My brothers and sisters,
yes.
Every one of us are in need of the Savior. We are in need of the Savior because we have sinned and come short of the glory. For we are absolutely unable to will or do anything to save ourselves. Sin had control of us. Sin was our master. Sin would wake us up at night and tell us to go here and there. Sin will hold you longer than you want to be held.
That's right. That's right.
And take you further than you want to go.
That's right.
Sin has been a problem. And if the truth be told, sin is still a problem.
That's right. That's right.
But thank God for Jesus. Because God, in his love for us, sent his son Jesus, begotten and behaved, to redeem us from the bondage of sin. That's good news. Oh, that's good news, knowing that God sent his only behaved son.
That's right.
His behaved son for his misbehaved creation.
That's right.
He sent his begotten son, his unique son, because of his love for us.
That's right. That's right.
His son came to redeem us from the bondage of sin. Good news. Knowing our condition, knowing we could not save ourselves, this is good news. We are not without hope. We are not without forgiveness. We are not without another chance. This is good news. Look at your neighbor and say, good news. Good news. He made a way for us when there was no way made. He sent his son, and his son proclaimed in himself that he is the way. He sent his son to be the Savior.
That's right.
Put emphasis on thee, because he's not a. Because A denotes that he's one of many kind.
That's right. That's right.
He is the Savior, the only one. There's only one. There's only one way unto the Father. There's only one way to be saved. And Jesus Christ is the. I wish I had a praying church. The Savior. Most people would view Matthew 1:21 as a Christmas passage. But the truth is, this particular verse is the hub center, the main theme of the Bible. Because it reveals to us one coming after hundreds of years of prophecy pointing to his coming.
That's right.
For Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 reveals to us God making good on his promise to his people.
That's right. That's
now let me pause parenthetically to say to us that if God makes you a promise, you can hold on to it. You can hang on to it, because God will make good of his promises. For the word of God says he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, that settles it. And here it is in Matthew 21. He made good of what he said to all of the Old Testament prophets.
That's right.
There will come one who would stand in our stead, stand in the gap for us to save us. Let me, if you will, pull 3 points out of this text from verse 21, and then I'll bid you farewell. First of all, if you see Christ as the Savior, you have to understand that verse 21 reveals his personality. So we see the personality of Jesus. Verse 21 says, thou shall call his name Jesus. Jesus. Jesus' names in the Bible are significant. Significant because a person's name denoted their personality. It was assigned personality to Jesus. Unlike today, parents name their children names with no significant, no meaning. But Jesus' name is not like that. He was given a name that would denote his personality, his conduct, his behavior.
That's right.
Matter of fact, when you look at it, Mary didn't give him the name Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Joseph didn't give him the name Jesus.
That's right. Yes,
Mary's cousin Elizabeth didn't give him the name Jesus.
That's right.
Her husband John didn't give him the name Jesus.
That's right.
His name came from above.
That's right. That's right.
You remember when Joseph thought about putting Mary away privily? And the Bible says he pondered these things in his heart, and he thought on those things, and God put him in a sleep.
That's right.
Put him in a trance. Put him in a dream. And the angel Gabriel came unto him and said to Joseph, this thing that Mary has within her is of the Father. It's holy.
That's right. That's right.
Take Mary to be your wife. And by the way, name the baby. Name the baby Jesus.
That's right.
Not Joseph Jr.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Y'all in here with me?
That's right.
But name the baby Jesus. He was commanded to name the child Jesus. So God the Father gave his son the name Jesus. He wanted his son's name to denote his own character. That's why Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because my conduct is what the Father does. He came to be the express image of the Father. Y'all in here with me? Conduct. He behaved himself in a manner that was pleasing unto God. His name denotes his attributes, his temperament, his emotions, his state of mind. His name indicated his behavior. And his behavior was to satisfy the desire of his Father. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said in Luke chapter 2 verse 49, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Jesus knew that his name denoted his Father's character. Do you know the name Christian is to denote the Son's character? So if you say you are a Christian, there are certain things you ought to do. There's certain things you can say, and there are certain things you can't say. There's certain places you can go, and there are certain places you can't go, because you got the name Christ, Christian, attached to you. Listen, there's a lot of us who really don't give any credence and credibility to the name Christ, and we misappropriate. Mishandle, misrepresent Christ, Jesus. His name denotes his personality. His behavior was to take care of his Father's business. But not only do you see the personality of Jesus, but in the name you see the purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, purpose. He didn't just come to come just to take a vacation from heaven. He didn't come just to be spending some time away from the Father and the angelic host. He came on divine assignment. Purpose. We were in trouble. We were on our way to a burning hell. No brakes. Nothing but gas pedal. Full speed ahead.
That's right.
Didn't even have the mind to turn around. I see you. So you thought you came to it.
That's right.
You thought you just woke up one day and it was laid on you to be saved by your own intuition.
That's right.
And your own smarts. Listen, you didn't go looking for him.
That's right.
He came looking for you.
That's right.
You ought to be glad he found you.
That's right. That's right.
I know you thought you just quit doing what you were doing on your own. No, 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 no. You didn't do that. You were saved.
That's right.
That's why when we come to church, we ought to be so thankful that he saved us. Could have left us out there where we were. He could have left us in the midst of what we were doing, but he stepped right into it and he pulled us out of it to save us. He saved us because God loved us. For the Bible says, for God so loved. Didn't have a whole lot of words to amplify the meaning of love, so he just put a small one, so. And y'all know when you attach so to something, it really amplifies it. Go to a restaurant and eat a good meal, you say it was so good. Got you a good man, good woman, you say they so good. Got a good husband, good wife, they so good. Children behaving, they so. Didn't have a whole lot of words to attach to it, to amplify the meaning. So he just put a small one in there and said, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He came to save.
That's right. That's right.
The word save, sozo.
Yes,
which means the present experience of God's power to deliver us from the bondage of sin.
Yeah, that's right.
Sin is a problem.
Yes, sir.
And has been a problem ever since the beginning when Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan.
Yeah.
Satan came tiptoeing in the garden.
God, no.
Cunning and subtle.
Come on, sir.
And he some way, somehow encouraged them to act against God.
All right.
Pulled the fruit of the forbidden tree.
All right.
Ate it. Eyes came open.
Yes, sir.
And after Adam's fall, every last one of us were born in the similitude of Adam's transgression. That's why the Bible says for all. I knew you thought it was a y'all thing. But all have sinned and come short of the glory. All. And sin has a consequence or a pay. Paul, three chapters later, said the wages of sin is death. Listen, every morning you wake up, you ought to thank God for grace. I mean, really, when you wake up, you ought to really thank God for another day. Thank God for grace. Because, listen, everything above the ground is grace. Because according to the Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory. We all deserve death. But he put death upon his son to save us. So every morning we ought to wake up on the right side of the bed, giving God praise, giving God thanks. Matter of fact, your worst day ought to be your greatest day to tell him thank you, because he didn't have to do it, but he did. He saved us. And I think I told you on watch night, salvation threefold. Salvation justified. We are justified. Justification. He wipes it clean. He acts towards us as if we have not sinned. He doesn't treat us like a stepchild. Matter of fact, he says we can come to him and say, dear daddy. Because we have all rights and privileges as his son. He justified just as if we hadn't done a thing. But not only are we justified, we are being sanctified. He's ridding us. He's delivering us from these human sentimentalities. There's a lot in us. I shared with the brethren, the preachers earlier, there's so much in us, sometimes it come out at the wrong time. Just to show you how much in us, you can be on your knees praying, and here comes a bad thought. Satan don't wait until you get up off your knees. Come on in here. Come on, this 2020. Sometimes he puts some stuff across the screen of your mind while you're on your knees. Do I have a witness? Desire to do good, but evil is always present. We got a problem, but thanks be to God that God is a God of another chance, and he is not through with us yet. God is not like some of us. When we mess up, we'll cut you off, but God will keep on loving you and 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 loving you until he brings you through. That's the kind of God we serve. Sent his son to save. Sanctification, but one day we'll be glorified with him. He's going to get rid of this stuff that messes us up. He's going to get rid of this sin that so easily beset us. He's going to make our mouths clean. He's going to give us clear sight, clear vision. Because he's going to clear us up on the inside. And he's going to take the inside from these old worn out frames and give us a heavenly garment that is not tainted or stained by the ways of the world. He saves us from sin. I like that, because sin is a small word, and sin. And sin is an eye problem. You know, as much as we would like to blame other folk, for our sins, sin is a eye problem. Nobody made you do it. It's just in you to do it. It's an eye problem. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not my, your fault. It's an eye problem. Folks cursing you, you don't have to curse them. It's an eye problem. Folks mistreating you, you don't have to mistreat them back. It's an eye problem. He came to deliver us from our sins. Notice, he came into the world to shed his blood, not spill his blood. Calvary was intentional. Spill means that it was unintentional. It was accidental. But shed means that he did it purposefully. He said, no man take my life. I lay it down of myself. And if I lay it down, I can take it up. And so Calvary was Jesus laying down his life. And here it is, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of our Father. Jesus said, I'm crucified. Or Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now have in or live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Purpose in his coming. Power or personality in his coming. But then, lastly, notice the power of Jesus in his coming. Jesus was not a powerless Savior. Because a powerless Savior can't save a sinner. He was powerful. And he came with power. I like this because some years ago I had the privilege of hearing Dr. A. Lewis Patterson, and he said when Jesus came, he came and demonstrated some of his power. Walking on water, some power. Feeding hungry multitudes, some power. Open eyes of the blind, some power. Unstopping deaf ears, some power. Stopping funeral recessions. Raising a widow's son, some power. Casting out demons from the maniacs in graveyards, some power. But when he went to Calvary, I'm almost finished. When he went to Calvary, he didn't go to Calvary with some power. Because when he got to Calvary, he could have come down, but he chose by his power to stay on the cross, and he died for our sins on Calvary. But that's not the end of the story. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus was placed in a borrowed tomb, but he didn't stay in that tomb very long. Because when you borrow something, you got to give it back. He stayed in that tomb all night Friday. Stayed in the tomb all morning Saturday. Stayed in that tomb all noonday Saturday. And all Saturday night. But thanks be to God, early or by any early Sunday morning Christians, if you believe early, he got out of the grave. You ought to stand on your feet and shake your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, Jesus, he didn't get up Sunday with some power in his hands. He got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. And I want to ask you one question this morning. Don't he have power to save your soul? Don't he have power to make you walk right? Power to make you talk right. Power to make your enemies leave you alone. Ain't God right? Shake your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus, he can do it all by himself. He don't need any help. He don't need anybody else. He can do it all by himself. Let me leave you this morning by telling you a story I read. It was a famous general who had a son who would love to crawl up in his lap, and his son would crawl up in his lap because he wanted to hear his father tell him the story of Jesus. The boy loved to hear his father tell him the story of Jesus. And one particular day, after the father told him the story of Jesus, the father said, "Son, how can you be saved? And how can you go to heaven with a heart full of sin? Ain't God all right?" The little boy started to cry. He had tears running down his cheek. And he finally looked up at his father and said, "Father, Jesus can save me. Ain't that good news? I may be messed up from the floor up. I may have a heart full of sin, but Jesus can save me." Shake your neighbor's hand and say, "Neighbor, I may not be perfect, but that's alright. Jesus can save me." Come on, point at yourself, say, "Jesus can save me." I want to ask you one more time now, ain't he alright? If you know he's alright, let me hear you say, "Yeah, yeah, 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 yeah." He can save. He can save. Listen, I don't care how low you may be. I don't care how much wrong you've done. Jesus is the Savior. And he wants to save you. If you're here today and you're not saved, come. Come, come, come. Give him your life today. Don't procrastinate, because delayed obedience is disobedience. Come to him today. Come, come, come. Let him save your soul. Come. Come, come, come. One of the greater tools of Satan is procrastination. Some of you are saying, "I'll do it next week. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next month." And he'll keep you in that holding stage, because Satan wants you to perish. But Paul says, the day you hear the Lord's voice, harden not your heart. Come on, come on, come on. He wants to love you. He wants to save you. Come on. Secondly, if you're here and you're backslidden, he wants to restore you. Come on. Come on. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come. Come on. The choir said, "Come." The greeter said, "Come." Deacon said, "Come." Preacher said, "Come." Come on. Oh, yeah. Come on, he loves you. Don't refuse and reject his love. Receive it today. by receiving his son Jesus. If you can believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for you, and confess the Lord Jesus, you can be saved. Come. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, you still have time. Come, come. Right, that means that you all have already accepted Christ. You're just coming from a church of like faith to continue your work. Amen. I want you to remain as the counselors will be with you.
Reverend Roger, we have Christopher Jones coming as
candidate
for baptism.
Amen. Come on. Man, come on, come on, this is the first of the year. Come on. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Take them back and counsel them.
Do you do it here?
All right, all right, man. We're so thankful to have you, and look forward to working with you, being a part of orientation and counseling with the counselors, and man, baptism. Come on, praise the Lord again. Bless you. Bless you, brother Christopher.
Okay, I'll go tonight.
Okay, so we'll do it. Okay. Amen. Come on, put your hands together again. Come on, we can do better than that. God has done a wonderful thing. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to receive of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, this is a part of the service that all of us should really look forward to taking part in. It's the honoring of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he had done for us on Calvary. As the Lord bless us. Is that you, Reverend Minor? You look like Reverend Minor. But listen, the Lord died for us. He died in our place for our good. And right before his death, he said, as oft as you do this, do this in remembrance of me. I want to remember. I want to remember.